Okay, I want to tell you about one of our sponsors, Bet Online, our exclusive wagering partner. Bet Online, of course, where you get all your action on NFL football, NBA basketball, and Bet Online AG is the place you want to go. More options to wager than anywhere else online. So online today, take advantage of all the great midseason bonuses, offers, and contests. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Use the code CLNS50 when you go to betonline.ag. Once again, betonline.ag, code CLNS50 to get you 50% off your initial deposit.
All right. We're back.
We're back.
Let's do this.
Off-season mode. Let's go.
Everybody's favorite.
Stay salty, people. Stay salty.
Yeah, back by popular demand, you could say.
Look at that energy. A lot of energy tonight. Let's go.
Well, there's a lot of energy on Twitter. People were asking us when we were coming back. It's always been our plan to do a bunch of off-season shows, so there's no question we want to hang out and do stuff. I kind of wanted to jump on last night when the Kemba Walker stuff started, which I think is where we're going to start with things today. But first off, guys, I missed you. It's been a week, but I mean, is that weird?
No, weird? I can tell you. That was genuine.
We need the break. We were getting exhausted.
I miss the idea.
Now we're refreshed.
I think I miss the idea of you, but now that I'm seeing you, I realize I don't actually miss you.
Damn.
Yeah,
Jimmy,
damn, Jimmy.
I miss some of the commenters.
We missed some of the commenters.
Everything about this show except for you. That's what that means. Okay, Jimmy. Yeah.
That's cool. That's cool. Since we parted ways, we'll just set the table with a few things, and then we're just going to roll the ball out there. We're going to play. We're going to do what we do. We're going to do locker room again afterwards, and you know we'll get everybody in there, and they can give their spicy takes. But since we last left you, Brooklyn beat the tar out of Milwaukee. It was making us think maybe the Bruins were lucky. Bruins. Maybe the Celtics accomplished something by getting a game off
still
them.
On his mind.
Bruins got eliminated. Rest in peace. Yep. There's some people still in the chat here.
Still in your mind, yeah.
I know.
Rest in peace, Tuca.
And then apparently Kemba Walker also doesn't want to be here, and I guess that's where we're going to start. Oh, Kevin Durant. I want to talk about that at some point. Kevin Durant, get Jason Tatum's name out of your mouth, okay? I don't want to hear it. That's great. I don't want to hear
telling
it.
You. Season planted.
We don't need that.
You know the seeds are planted.
Oh, absolutely.
Don't want to hear it. And then Kemba Walker.
Hey, man, do the Blake Griffin.
Yeah. So the story around Kemba, both Kemba and Celtics want to part ways, apparently. That it's been no secret. The Celtics have been talking about trying to move on from Kemba. It's the number one story of the offseason after the Danny Ainge Brad situation, which, again, I have some more developing opinions about that. So we're going to get into that. And the coaching
search. I missed
that
whole video, so I have to get my...
Yeah, and Jimmy hasn't had his take, too. But, you know, as time's gone on, I like it less and less and less and less. And even Bobby. Wait till you hear what Bobby has to say. But well, you knew things were... You knew we needed a break when Bobby and I started agreeing. And that's what ended up happening.
So the Kemba thing,
The Kemba thing, okay, so put it out there. The story was, and again, I don't know whether we trust it or not, came out of L.A., a Clippers reporter. Kemba was also kind of annoyed. There's other stories out there. Bleacher Report. There's other stories. I think Mannix went on NBC Boston and said that Ainge has rubbed some people the wrong way. You know, this perception around the league that he's not good to players. It kind of keeps people from wanting to come here. I don't know how much we want to say. So, Sherrod, I'll roll the ball out there with you. Like, I don't know whether the Kemba stuff is real or not, but your first take hearing the Kemba stuff and whether it's plausible that this is an issue with the Celtics that people like are worried that Danny's going to do them dirty. And obviously not anymore. He's not here, but whether that was a thing.
Well, let me start with the Kemba stuff. I mean, the Kemba stuff, just in the folks that I've spoken to about that, they want to draw a distinction between Kemba. The story out there is Kemba wants to be traded, when they say Kemba just wants to be somewhere where he's wanted. And there is a difference between the two things. In Boston, if they're trying to trade your ass, you don't have to. They don't have to say they don't want you. The fact that they're trying to trade you says that they're looking to move on without you. And Kemba, from what I understand, he wants to just be somewhere where he's wanted. He felt that's why Boston came strong, you know, when he was could sign with anyone after he was leaving Charlotte. But obviously his injuries have complicated things a bit, because when you look at when Kemba does play and he's healthy, he's pretty damn good. And he's your, what, quasi number two, number three option? Him and Jaylen Brown, I think you can just flip-flop them almost any day of the week with the Celtics team as far as their place in a pecking order. Kemba wants to be where he's wanted, and I can't blame him for that. I mean, if the team is shopping your ass, they're looking for move on without you. And why should you fight that if they don't want you around? If I'm Kemba, I wouldn't want to be in Boston if they're trying to shop me. I'm just simply playing along with the game that they're playing.
Well, here's right. The deal.
No one wants to be a burden, you know, at the end of the day. Sorry to cut you off, Bobby. I just want to get that in. No one wants to be a burden. And obviously, when he came here, it was under completely different circumstances. And if you're Kemba Walker, you got to feel for him as well. I mean, you see Tatum's contract going to come in. You see Jaylen's going to come in. And obviously, you see what happened. And he couldn't finish that first-round matchup. I mean, regardless of what happened, that was disappointing, because he showed a lot of hope and a lot of promise throughout that, I don't know what, 4-6 week span. When he was averaging, you know, over 30 points, you know, obviously not playing on the second night of back-to-backs, but a lot of those games, you know, the throughout that point in the schedule, there weren't a whole lot of back-to-backs. But, I mean, either way, yeah, if you're Kemba, I mean, you're not going to beg the franchise to, hey, can you please let me stay, please? I'll show you that I can prove myself on the court. No, I mean, you're going to take that personally. And obviously, you're going to see that, you know, if the team thinks that they're better off without you, then he's thinking, well, then so be it. You know, maybe I could prove myself elsewhere and show another franchise that I still have something left.
Beyond that, this guy was loyal. And Bobby, I'm sorry, but this guy was loyal to Charlotte, would have wanted to stay there. And they didn't come to the table. So he was like, all right, Boston is the place I want to play the next 4 years. And in less than a year to be told, we're going to send you somewhere else. Like, that is a bit of a breach of trust, right? Come here. We love you. This is the best place to be. Boston, Boston, Boston. We you know,
2 years later.
And in a year, doing somebody dirty like that is pretty bad.
Is it doing someone dirty? I mean, they locked him in at $37 million.
I used to not feel that way. But when you think about it from a player perspective, you've been one place your entire life. You go somewhere and be like, okay, I will take my career, my life, my family, my everything to Boston. You've sold me on Boston. And a year later, you're like, who wants him? I'll literally trade him anywhere if you'll take this salary off my hands. It's like, I didn't want to go to San Antonio. I didn't want to go to friggin' here. Like, I don't want to go to Orlando. I could have signed there. I had a choice. I had choices. I chose you. I could have played anywhere. I was a free agent. This sucks, you know?
He gets a player option in a year. You know what? The Celtics wanted Walker.
He's
in
not
the playoffs.
Exercising a player option.
Well, if he really doesn't like where he ends up, he can. He has that power. He has that ability.
And that's another thing, too.
He signed a 4-year deal to become one of the highest paid players in the league. At that point, if you're not producing at the level that contract warrants, it's more than fair to move on from a guy, particularly when he has injuries and they had real concerns about that. And frankly, we all owe you an apology, Cam John. Like, you were vindicated here. He fell apart at the worst possible time in the playoffs.
Hold on.
No, see, look what you did. Look what you now. Special graphics. See,
Bobby, you go then, buddy. You're the Mr.
You got this.
He just went to a package he hasn't gone into in so long. Production package.
Yeah,
he had to dust that shit.
Yeah, dust it off.
I wasn't trying to
do that. Was like,
yeah,
it's warranted. I mean,
it's for the force.
No, it was not warranted. He didn't dust that off. Yo, Sherrod, he's using the wipes. He's cleaning that thing off. It's been that's how long it's been since we've used this thing.
All right,
off here. Getting the wipes
for shit.
No, so the point John made all along was that he was going to hold out because something could always be lurking around the corner, and it was, and it came up come playoff time when they needed him, when they were able to pull off a win there. He wasn't available, so now 3 more years, starting with the beginning of this year, was going to be predicated on his availability, and they can't deal with that anymore. They just can't.
Yeah,
he's loving it. Yeah.
But again, Bobby, and you know, we all know this. The challenge with Kemba isn't so much that you want to move him. It's how are you going to move him? Because the very reasons why you don't want him necessarily on your roster if you're Boston Celtics are the very same reasons teams are going to be looking at you like, and you want us to take him on because of what again? So yeah, but see, but that's I think it's gonna be hard for them to move him and get something of. I'm not even looking for comparable value. If you do move him, are you going to get something that has value at all? I mean, for example, one thing that a couple of folks were kind of tossing about, and again, I don't like the idea, I don't like the deal, but what about something for Porzingis? Would you make a trade involving Kemba for Porzingis?
So that is the most likely. That is the most likely trade. But
you're
trading
an injured player for an injured player, essentially. With that,
yeah,
I feel like we shortchanged that. I feel like we shortchanged that four-way apology, but that's fine.
I did the best I could. I mean, it's warranted. So
I've already pretty much said you were right, John. But
when you look back on this,
before we get into trade scenarios,
what
okay,
I want to
say.
Someone said that
Bobby's going to clean your dishes tonight after the show.
We're going to run through no fewer than five different trade options. We are going to talk about them, each one. I want to hear your thoughts on whether you do them. Bobby, this is like me in like NFL fantasy football mock draft season where I do like 75,000 mocks. Bobby has done the trade machine literally nonstop.
I sent John 11 trades.
I'm like,
was it the good one? Was it the good one, Bobby? Because yeah, one of them out there is, you know, it's outdated, but it's a couple of weird trade machines out there.
Yeah, it gets tricky because you can't go in the offseason mode. But there's a lot Sherrod, you said it's going to be tough to move them. There's a lot of options out there. Not all of them are easy to swallow but there are a lot of options.
And so we will get into those, but I don't want to get into them yet. Jimmy, you had something on your mind you wanted to get off your chest.
I'd like to say something on this show before it ends. So I have a few issues. I have a few issues with this Kemba report.
Stay salty, Jimmy.
Don't talk about the first round matchup, man. We moved on.
Yeah, I'm not going to get into NBA matchup.
All right. I don't know. It's been a while.
But what I will say is I'm not completely sold on this report. It is a report. It's been refuted already by like one of Kemba Walker's family members. I'm not putting too much thought into
Keto.
That. Whatever. Yeah, whatever. But whatever. Here's my issue. If you're Kemba Walker and you were a little perturbed by the rumors that were going around last offseason, first of all, I don't know how much you can really fault some of those rumors that you're hearing. I mean, it wasn't like etched in. It was like some rumor, like, oh, like Danny Ainge is shopping Kemba Walker to literally anybody who will pick up the phone. It's like, okay, is that really truthful? I don't know. The other thing is this: they treated Kemba exactly the way they said they were going to treat him. They stuck true to their word. They did everything they could to get this guy on the court. They put him in position to succeed. They gave him the rest he needed. He seemed like, you know, the happy-go-lucky Kemba Walker that we've come to know here in Boston. And thirdly, here's my biggest issue. If you're Kemba Walker, you have an issue with Danny Ainge, right? You don't really have an issue with your teammates or Brad Stevens. It wasn't like they were trying to trade you. So now all of a sudden, Danny Ainge is out of the picture for all intents and purposes. He might still poke his head in and out of the office here and there, but he's no longer the GM. If you're Kemba Walker, why are you now allegedly demanding a trade when you're staring at supposedly two of the top 20 players in the NBA, two of the youngest great duos in the NBA? You're on a team that could potentially, you know, go somewhere if the right pieces are put around them. You have a full offseason ahead of you that maybe you can get the right rest and relaxation that you need. Going into next offseason, there's going to be less back-to-backs. You might be the player that you might look like more like the player in year one here in Boston than in year two. So why is he demanding a trade to go?
I don't think he is.
He just wants to leave Boston.
I don't think he is.
I don't think he's demanding a trade. You know why? Because why would you demand what you know they already want to do?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like if someone says, hey,
I'm breaking up with you.
Right. Yeah. That's an example.
That's exactly what
I was going to say. Like, I want $1 million. Yeah, that's right. Okay.
Yeah. That's why Sherrod got that shirt.
You might end up in Oklahoma.
He doesn't want to stay salty. Well, he doesn't want to stay salty, man. Yeah, man. Kemba should rock that shirt. That's what's up. Sherrod came
through with
the
shirt.
The report is this, guys. And again, this is the thing. Is like, it's so easy to refute these things because what happens? Somebody close to Kemba says Kemba was pissed about this shit. The report was he was salty and he also would have liked to move on because he doesn't want to be somewhere he's not appreciated.
Right. And that
could easily be true. Right. So I don't care about who refuted it because somebody goes to somebody on the Celtics.
Kemba didn't refute it.
Well, remember, Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving refuted the fact that they were trying to come together and play together. And how'd that turn out?
Yeah. The refuting,
you know, looking at them right now.
But I don't want you. You go run to the Celtics source, and the Celtics guy says, I don't think that's true. And you're like, refuted, see? And then everybody believes what they want to believe on Twitter. So everyone who doesn't want to believe that Kemba was unhappy will say, see, someone's already said it's not true. But the reality is, Kemba probably didn't love it. He knew he wanted to get traded. He felt shitty about it. And that's that. So that's life.
He probably didn't love it, but that doesn't mean he's demanding a trade either. I mean, a lot of players.
Exactly. I don't think he's demanding a trade. Well,
a lot of players have been traded from the Celtics over the years, and many of them have fond memories and would play back here again. And I mean, Isaiah Thomas is a good example. I mean, Evan Turner, a guy. I mean, there's players that are either leaving free agency, which means the Celtics didn't want them enough to re-sign them, or they get traded, and that's business. Now, nobody wants to hear the trade rumors.
Yeah, the point that you made, Jimmy, earlier, I think is an important one, and that is the point.
That's pretty salty, damn.
There you go. The point that you made about just Kemba and his relationship with his teammates, I don't think that can be really undervalued and how important that is, because worst case scenario in all of this is that Kemba's back in Boston. And if that's the worst case scenario, he's playing with guys that he genuinely likes to play with, guys that he has a better understanding of what they can do and what they can't do and things like that. So for Kemba, again, the whole idea of him demanding a trade, to me, it's just silly. I'm not gonna ask you to do something that I know you want to do.
And it's really bad for the Celtics. Think again, with everything we've talked about the last 2-3 weeks in terms of their perception, if this really is him behind closed doors and through other people getting word out about his frustration with the organization, I mean, we're now talking about the three biggest free agents in Celtics history.
What I was just going to say.
All pushing their way out the door.
That's the bad part.
This is not a good thing at all, whether you want to see Kemba gone or not.
What does that say about like Tatum and Brown? Like, does anybody want to play with these two? I mean, if Kemba Walker genuinely doesn't want to play here in Boston.
That part. There you go, Jimmy.
There's a lot of stars that are all of a sudden out the door when they're staring at two of allegedly the, you know, best young players in the NBA. I mean, typically veterans want to play with those types of players. But instead, you know what? Everyone's leaving. Yeah.
Right. But the one thing that's different and unique about this, Jimmy, is that Tatum and Brown, I think we all agree, they're the centerpiece, they're the core. But this team has yet to really be built around those two guys. It's like those guys that have left, they were supposed to be Tatum and Brown. You know, when you got Gordon Hayward, when you add a Kyrie Irving, when you add an Al Horford, they're supposed to be your nucleus. And these two young fellas have basically said, nah, we're kind of the nucleus. The Celtics beginning this year have to start seriously building around these young guys and making sure they keep them in the loop on that building. Don't just make decisions and then have Tatum and Brown find out about that shit on Twitter. That's not how this works. They've earned a right to be in those conversations. Now, have they earned a right to make those decisions and influence those decisions? No. But should they be informed about them? No. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
100%.
I mean, that's the part that I think is going to be interesting moving forward. I mean, how much input do guys like Tatum and Brown have on those on these kind of moves? And if you're Kemba, you're wondering the same thing. I mean, it's like, hey, the writing's on the wall, but at the same time, shit, has anyone even texted me about next season? You know what I mean? I mean, not to say that, you know, that means a whole lot, but or they have that kind of relationship. But, you know, you have to wonder how in is Kemba on these kind of conversations when obviously trading him is a top option or a top priority for this organization right now.
This is also a huge decision.
He's
I know.
Him, right.
That's the biggest part, Jimmy, right now. Who's making this decision? Because this is,
you know,
this
Tatum
is gonna alter the direction
of
the free. This is gonna alter the direction of the franchise. So who is making this decision?
A GM. They don't have a coach. They don't have veteran stars that want to play here. Their pets' heads are falling off.
And if Ainge is gonna be the fall guy, why not let him make this one last really tough decision here? Have him take the fall for it, and then head out the door.
He's already taken the sword, man. What more do you want Danny to do? I mean, because if Danny's
right next to Brad,
right? You got to believe that Danny is still going to be involved in some way, shape, or form. Not publicly, but he's definitely not just going to leave Brad out there to make this decision.
Yes,
on his own.
Yes, but this trade perception wise is going to be on Brad. This
yeah,
is going to be
absolutely.
Brad making this deal. Send him to Oklahoma City or wherever it's going to be. maybe vanquishing his career. I mean, this is different from Isaiah, like 100%. The Isaiah situation, the Celtics probably did deserve a knock or two there, but Kemba kind of came here as but damn 30 goods, out of and they 30 gave him a GM, huge contract.
30 out of 32.
John's about to say something.
Do exactly facts, what the Celtics do. So, great. That was mean to Isaiah. Every GM does the same exact thing, and if you don't, you'd be fired.
It didn't help his reputation, though. It didn't help Danny's rep, though.
But you'd be fired if you gave Isaiah a max deal. That'd be the last thing you ever did. If you brought Isaiah back, or you didn't look to move on, you'd lose your job.
I know, but John, the agents, the people behind the scenes, are using Boston, whether it's true or whether it's not. They're using Boston as like that scapegoat every single time, and whether it's real or not, that's just killing their perception. And again, this like goes back to things we've been talking about for about a month now in terms of perception versus reality. It may not be reality, but they have to fight it somehow.
I've never been high on it. I personally think it's more media driven. I also think if you're an athlete and it comes down to a decision, if you want to go somewhere, you're going to use confirmation bias. You're going to talk to the people who are going to say, I've heard that about Boston, but it's not the case. You're not going to be like, oh, some people said that, so I'm going to not go to this place that otherwise I like things about it. That's not going to be the driving force, this idea that you might get traded somewhere down the line. I just don't believe people are using that to factor in. It might be that I don't like the city. I don't want to play with those guys. If there's reasons to not come here, I think they're way bigger than, well, the GM might trade me at some point or another. I don't buy it.
No, guys, when just in my years, just dealing with agents and GMs and the like, it always comes back to how much can I get paid and how much am I going to play?
Yeah.
If the players are looking for the money on those two fronts, they can deal with all the other bullshit because they know that there's going to be other bullshit around that. As far as winning games, as far as how you're treated by the GM, whether you're on a trading block. And you know, one of the things about being on a trading block that players that I've dealt with in the past who always reminded me of is when you're on a trading block, that means somebody's talking about wanting you to be on their team.
Somebody wants you.
That means you're wanted. To me, if I'm Kemba Walker, I would be freaking out if nobody was talking about trading for me. If nobody had any interest in whether I was available, that is when you worry, because that means that you are not someone that is coveted in this league, and it means you're basically playing on borrowed time. So the fact that there may be an actual audience that is at least interested in inquiring about Kemba's availability, that's a good thing for him. And for the Celtics, it's a great thing because Kemba, considering what he's making money-wise, considering what he can do physically, that's not a cocktail for great abundance of interest. The fact that they can get any type of interest at this point, I think, is a good thing for both Kemba and for the Celtics.
Yeah, but Sherrod, if they're unable to do it, though, if they're unable to move him, that's an awkward training camp, right? I think that's the thing, too.
I don't agree.
If you're Kemba, for Kemba Walker, if you're Kemba Walker, you're like, great.
If I'm Kemba Walker and I come back.
We believe in you.
If I'm Kemba Walker and all this talk is going on all summer long and I'm still in Boston, I'm coming back as an absolute stone-cold assassin. And if I had, and the first chance I get to leave Boston, I'm going to do it.
He'll do it. He'll do the Hayward opt out at 37 and get another $100 million.
Now the alternative, if you're the Boston Celtics, is to squash all the talk about Kemba being traded and just tell him that we're not going to include you in any deals, and we're going to come back and we're going to be kumbaya, Ubuntu, and all that. And then you still run the risk of him leaving. So why would you not find out what his value is and see if there's a deal that you can work out versus putting your head in the sand and pretending as if everything is rainbows and ponies and bring him back without knowing what his value is outside of your organization? To me, that is the criminal act in all this, if they don't find out what his value is.
Seems like they know, going back to last summer, at least according to the reports. Now, maybe they were shooting for the moon in terms of what they wanted. Drew Holiday, that kind of thing was a little unrealistic.
LaMarcus Aldridge was dead. They tried to trade him for a dead guy. I mean, jeez. You know, like
I know what you mean.
I hate that, John.
But damn,
he retired because of his health. Stay away from the dead references with LaMarcus Aldridge.
I know, but they tried to trade him for LaMarcus
Aldridge. Kemba was close to that too.
They tried to trade him for Aldridge, and Bobby put on the text thread, wow, wouldn't that have been crazy if you retired? I'm like, in a bad way? That would have been
a great way.
Yeah.
What do you think Kemba's thinking about that?
I find it extremely
hard to believe. I hope Kemba's not watching.
I love Kemba. I don't care what you guys say. I love him.
Everyone loves Kemba, but everyone still wants to trade Kemba.
Impossible to believe that Kemba did not go into this season having spoken to Danny, Brad, whoever, about these rumors that float around. There's no way he went into the season without that discussion. So that's why I'm a little hesitant to believe his report. No offense to whoever the guy was who reported it. I don't even know who the guy's name. I don't even know who it is, and I don't care. But I just find it hard to believe that they're not a little bit more – they weren't on the same page going into the season. Now, that being said, like John said and like Sherrod said, as a GM, you have to do your job. I would say everybody's on the table except Jason Tatum. That doesn't mean I'm trying to trade Jaylen Brown, but he's not off the table for like any discussion at all, depending on what players available out there. So if you're going to, you know, cry about it, then go cry about it. But, you know, this is the name of the game. It's the NBA. It's the you're getting paid $37 million.
No, I know. I just don't want the Celtics to end up trading him just to trade him, you know?
I don't either.
Maybe you go into next season and you just get Kemba. I just don't want Kemba to be out of whack, you know, out of folks thinking, wow.
So that's what we talked about.
You guys try to trade me. You guys tried every single option possible. And now you're stuck with me. You know, I don't want him to have that attitude.
That's the balance.
About a lot is realistically trading Kemba makes you worse. Almost every scenario, and we're going to go through a bunch of them. Realistically, trading Kemba makes you worse.
Unless you get very lucky.
Unless you get lucky.
You're not going to get lucky.
Step back.
It makes you worse. Right. You're not good enough to overcome this. The Wizards got lucky. On offense, the void you're going to have at the point guard position. You know, you're going to have to probably, but depending on some of these scenarios, you're going to have to give up picks along with it. Like, this is stupid. Just, you got to pretty much bring him back unless you get blown away, which you're not going to be.
You're going to lose the trade.
No, because bring him back fails in two ways. Well, I guess it could succeed if he just comes out guns blazing, but I feel like they did everything they could have to set him up to have a successful season. And it probably came about as close as it could be to working. Again, Josue and I defended him all year. He closed the season averaging 30 a game. But that instability that was instilled by him just jumping in and out of the lineup all year, right up until the end of the playoffs there, I think was a huge part of them being .500.
I've pointed out
a lot.
You
need to get a legitimate backup point guard.
As I said,
it's not just flexibility.
It's not just that. Between games he missed and games he outright sucked, that was almost 50% of the season. Like, you know, it was a lot. There was a lot. If you talk,
they were 8-3 before he came back.
Right, but 10 games that were duds, and then the however many he missed, you couldn't count on him for 25 out of the 60. You know, like it was a large number. And then there was a bunch of games that he was just okay. So like his high impact games were a small percentage of his season, or the games where you're like, I'm glad Kemba Walker is here. That about 50%. That's not a very good ratio for a person you're counting on to be a core member of your team, which is why, again, your expectations going into next season, no matter what, especially if he's not going to play back-to-backs or play limited, is it has to be more of a bench role or a reserve role or something. You got to build a rotation that isn't going to be totally different, you know, every so often when he gets. But they're going back to a normal season. It's an 80-game season. He couldn't play 40 this year, guys. What are we going to do here? Yeah. You know,
I mean, are those numbers skewed though? I mean, obviously the conditions and the way the schedule was congested. I mean, he didn't even start the regular season, obviously, and he still was unable to play on the second night of back to backs. But I mean, I think that was common sense when you looked at the schedule. I mean, I don't think that's going to be the case heading into the season. You know, in terms of his production, we're not quite sure. We have to see him prove himself.
But
have to remember that it shouldn't be the same schedule.
We keep talking about it like he's not.
You want him back?
It's not that I don't want him back, Bobby. I just don't want to see the Celtics just trade him just to trade him. You know, maybe having him back for another year, restructuring that final year.
Me too.
It's what actually happens.
Wait a second. We're still talking about him like a guy that we think can be useful for the course of an entire season and not break down. And I don't know after the last 2 years, I'm not going to sit here and take victory laps over it, but I don't know how after the last 2 years you have any hope at all that Kemba Walker is going to be able to make a sustained push in the next year, all the way into the playoffs and help you. because that, so to me, the notion that not trading Kemba for nothing is bad, I don't know at this point, because I don't know what you're getting at all anymore. I mean, can you say with confidence, any of you guys right now, if you had to bet on it, and we said 60 games next year plus a full run of the playoffs, who's pushing their chips into the middle on that one?
No,
that's not.
55 games and in all of even, the playoffs. 50 games. Which of you thinks that that's possible?
I think it's possible.
It's bigger than
I think that one. I do. 50.
I think 50.
Not that I feel big, good about, yeah.
50. It's bigger than that, too, John.
I just think, here's the thing. With Kemba, and again, to your point about getting crap, basically getting nothing in return, that to me, that's just the reality. If you trade him, that's going to happen. I don't think there's anyone that's going to give you anything of substance. If you keep him, I would like to see what can Kemba do with a normal offseason, a normal training camp, the normal intricacies that we're used to him seeing. Because Kemba, we've seen when he's healthy,
he can be a more basketball.
When What's he's that? Healthy.
No, go ahead, Sherrod.
No, when he's healthy, he's a really good player. And I'm thinking as he gets a little bit older, he falls a little bit further down the pecking order of priorities. I mean, Tatum, Brown, hopefully someone else will emerge and be a number three so Kemba can be maybe that fourth guy.
Hopefully.
But, you know, we got the GM of the Stars, Brad Stevens, on the case. So, of course, that's going to happen because Brad's amazing at everything he does, right?
Even if he's healthy, I think there's serious concerns about his fit on the team at this point. His ability to mesh with Brown, his ability to play make, his ability to shoot off the ball, because Jason Tatum is the ball handler on this team now.
And he should be the playmaker. Kemba should be playing more off the ball.
Yeah, this is a different team than the one he came into, and that's another reason I think it's time to move on. Like, he did not fit well with this roster this year, even when he was at his best. And I want to make it work. I want to see how it would go. I raised that concern at the beginning of the year, how him and Brown would mesh. But I think I think you'd be in a better place next year. I think you can go two directions here. You can take a step back, as John often talks about, which many of these deals would do. But you can also pad your depth and bring in different flavors of attributes here that can better fit Tatum, Brown. They won't be better players, but they might fit better. They might make you deeper. They might make you better on defense. The money ball approach.
Yeah. Give me the on-base percentage of Jason Giambi.
Yeah, that never happens in basketball.
Oh, boy.
It doesn't matter.
They were bad last year, though, Jimmy.
Again, we're looking at fantasy stats. We're looking at friggin' like 20 points a game. You can't get that elsewhere. What we need is people who can play. You need a team. You need people that can play. You got two guys you're worried about on this team.
I don't see anybody that's going to make them better based on the scenarios that I've
seen. All right, so let's throw out a few of them, okay? Ready, people? The number one. No, the easiest one, everyone. First off, I need to tell everybody.
First off, Kemba for a locker room.
Tease master, yo. This dude.
Sucka.
Kemba for locker room and a John's player to study, be named later.
John studied the chapter of how to tease a segment. Man, you really got that down.
That's something I drilled into my guys.
He was all about that.
Look, I just want to let everybody know we are doing it. This is not. I swear to God, I swear it's not an all-nighter. I can't do it. I can't do it. Okay.
Oh, I know you're gonna do it.
He's totally gonna do it.
Those are the nights you do it.
If Kes is out there right now, Kes, you got 2 minutes tonight, buddy.
John, you're gonna get every Kemba trade idea from here to the Philippines.
Okay. I love you. I miss Kes. I miss Dudley. I miss Karen. I miss all of you guys. I 2 minutes each. Okay.
Not tonight.
Chris, all of you.
Get your trade proposal in and get out.
My guys, I can't wait to hear from
you. Start working the trade machine right now, guys.
I can't wait to hear from all of you, but it is a school night. Whatever. We can't anyway. So here we go. Locker room, download it. For those of you first timers here, there's a couple because there's a couple who are like, this guy John sucks, and like I haven't heard from you guys yet. So you guys are new. If you want to come and say that to my face, or not to my face, but on the phone, come to locker room. That's totally fine. We'll give you a platform. Tell us why we're dumb. Tell us why our trade ideas are terrible. Tell us why you want Kemba, why you don't want Kemba. We still didn't talk about Brad and Danny.
In the words In the words of Perk, though, make sure you got some bass in your voice when you do.
Oh,
yeah, Perk was a savage that night, man.
Oh my God,
part two
with that,
man.
What a masterclass!
The sequel was wild.
He friggin' body bagged some people. He's like, go ahead. He's like, no, no, no. I want to hear the criticism, and then right. He just absolutely just body slammed some place. Of those people. Yeah.
That was real locker room talk right there.
Yeah. Download it and join us after. We're going to go in about 25 minutes, okay? So we're going to do a few trade scenarios for the rest of this. We'll take the rest of the chat over to locker room, okay? Number one, but the one everyone's talking about.
Okay.
Kristaps.
Jimmy loves this one.
Okay?
I don't love it. I don't
it works. So ultimately, this is the easiest one, okay? It's the easiest one because it's player for player. Who wants to do this? Sherrod's face is saying yes, I think.
Yeah.
Is that what that expression is?
Oh, that would be help to the no.
I'm out.
Yeah, this is the worst.
Show of hands, show of hands. Who's in? Who's in?
For the sake of argument, I'm in.
I'm in.
Even though I just said that.
You
I
like it, John?
Like... No, but
I'm going to take a sip of my coffee.
For all of the reasons I've stated, one, I told you, my answer is going to be yes to almost every one of these trades.
Let me ask you something, Bobby, since you brought it up. How does the Porzingis fit compare to the Kemba fit? I would say it has to be a better fit.
He's a better scorer. He's more efficient, better shooter at this point. But everywhere else he fails. He still keeps your defense bad. He doesn't play with size at this point in his career.
Can he get up the floor?
Doesn't bring a post presence. He's playing the four. I've never really seen him play the five that much, at least in recent years. And he brings injury concerns.
He's not the Knicks Kristaps anymore.
But what happened?
It hasn't been for a long time since he was with the Knicks.
So Tatum moves to the three, Brown moves to the two.
Yeah. And it's awkward.
You've got Tatum. I don't hate Tatum at the three.
Mad awkward.
No, I just think Porzingis at the four is really awkward at this point.
I don't like Porzingis at the four, five, bench, seventh man. No.
And why? He brings a personality too that you got to be worried about there too, with the way he seems to be beefing with Luka a little bit.
Yeah, you can't be beefing with Luka.
Here's the thing about the Luka beef. If Porzingis actually played like the second best player on that team, there would be no beef. That's the problem.
Yeah.
He should be the second best player, but he plays more like the fourth best player. You are going to have problems with your best player when you aren't getting it done. Here's a thought. How about making an open shot when your best player got freaking black tape all over his damn body?
Okay,
he can barely walk. How about making an open shot to help your boy out?
But I got to point out, guys, I mean, we're talking about him like he's completely broke ass. Like the year before his injury. The year
25.
Before the year before his injury. The year before his injury, he scored 23 points a game, okay? And he shot 44% from the field, 39 from three, okay? And he had 6 rebounds a game. Last 2 years, he's been 20-10 with this year he shot his best field goal percentage of his career and shot nearly 40% from three as well. I'm still kind of missing where Porzingis is broke ass. Like
defense.
I understand he's not.
Here we go with the defense.
He used to contest more, but can we grow up? It's an offensive players' league, okay? Like
John, they were the most efficient offense ever 2 years ago, and they lost round one.
Bobby, every show defense. It's the NBA. That's where they're ruined
this season.
I want someone to explain the narrative that Kristaps Porzingis is broke ass, like not even close. He was an absolutely. More than serviceable player. He was probably their second best offensive weapon this year. The ceiling isn't as high as what you envisioned he could potentially be as both a guy who could, contest shots and stretch it out and shoot threes and be 7 feet tall and just a real problem. But he's still a 7-footer that shoots nearly 40% from three and can score. Like that's not fine. He's not a unicorn.
Him or Horford?
Horford by far.
We'll get into Horford.
But see, that's the thing. Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Why Horford by far? That makes sense to me.
Because he plays by defense.
He brings a lot of stuff.
I wouldn't say by far, but I think I'd prefer that. And I know obviously.
You've already done this with Horford. You know exactly what he brings and exactly
what if I tell you this?
Well, right? It went well, Jimmy. Like
it went well.
What's wrong with going? Why go for the unknown on this one? You know, it's just that's a lot. That's a big contract to take in as well, obviously, and Al Horford. But Kristaps, I mean, it's a gamble.
He signs through 2025.
He's 25.
When you're not a Kemba Walker, you have to gamble.
Kemba Walker has no knees. Like, we're worried about Kristaps' injuries.
Oh,
like,
my Lord. Kristaps played as many games this year. Look at his injury log. Knee, ankle, back.
He did. He had a bunch.
He's 7'4". Like, those type of injuries, they don't bode well for seven, you know, guys that big.
Little guy doesn't jump, doesn't bang. He's a big man simply because he's tall. There's nothing about his game other than his height that screams big man.
And now, with Stevens gone.
He should go to everybody. Great.
You can't even count on that old thing we used to talk about with Stevens, where it'd be like, oh, if Stevens can utilize him better. We don't even know who the coach is going to be.
Yeah. Right. My biggest worry is that he's an asshole.
And he signed an extra year over Kemba.
He has a player option for the third year, and that is a bit of a concern.
Right. Yeah. And just the way he talked his way out of New York and just some of the kind of, you know, issues he's got with Luka.
He didn't even do the exit interview in New York. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I mean, John, your point about him being an asshole, that's a good one. Because I do worry about that, too.
He's an asshole. And so that would worry me because you're talking about Kemba is like the best guy in the world and everybody likes playing with him. And he's super supportive of his teammates. And you'd go to this guy who's shot himself out of two destinations and
might be beefing
with stars and management of players. He's the type of guy who has a problem with everyone, and that's not great.
If he's beefing with Luka, how's he gonna feel about Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum? I mean, well,
he's gonna be further down.
It's a risk.
He's doing, you know, he's playing well and he's winning games, then he's an asshole. He's our asshole.
That's okay, but here's the thing. He doesn't significantly help you win games. That's why New York didn't work out. That's why Dallas would be open to the idea of moving him, because that team with him, they're okay. But he doesn't take them to the level that they need to in order to be a better team.
All right, so we're sticking with three hard no's, and Jimmy and I, just for the sake of argument or for actual sake. I'm like 51-49.
I'll give you this, John. This is the most likely of all the deals to get a yes. And has the highest upside.
I would strongly consider it. Totally.
Highest upside, most likely of the deals.
And no picks.
We'll bring in number two, okay?
Oh, God. And you guys would rather do this.
Yeah, it's not pretty, man. None of these are pretty. I mean, come on.
What do you guys want?
Well, I want Bobby to explain that why by far he would rather do this. He'd rather give up a pick and get
Jimmy
Al
wants
Horford
to say
back.
Jimmy wants to see Shea in there. Gilgeous Alexander. Here you go, guys.
Yes. Now we're talking.
Yeah. You want to put Jalen in there.
I love the obsession with Al coming back.
The obsession with former Celtics just I want to pull my hair out. It's not that I don't like.
Let's go get Brandon Bass.
Don't want them to ever be back. Exactly. It's like been there, done that. I don't remember winning a title with these guys. I don't know why everyone's obsessed with bringing back these guys. When you go out there and get a younger version, not the same player, but a younger player that's out there can play a similar position or the same position. I'm just talking about Porzingis in this example. And yeah, is it a risk? Absolutely, it's a risk. But when you're not a great team, you have to take risk. You have to gamble a little bit. It's a high risk, high reward. What's the alternative? Like, somewhat of a risk.
Is keeping Kemba.
You eat a year and you try to restructure that contract.
Another seven or eight seed in a first round exit. Like, is that what you guys want to do?
The pros.
And then you want to double up with Kristaps? I mean, yeah.
Kemba's not
off. I'd rather miss the playoffs. I'd rather swing for the fences and strike out or hit a home run. Than hit for a freaking single.
As much as I love Al Horford and would love for him to come back, I wouldn't do that deal. I don't think it's the type of deal that makes a whole lot of sense. I mean, hell, if you're going to do that, you might as well keep Kemba, really. at that point, if that's like the best deal that you can get done.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, listen, if Robert Williams was someone that we can say this is it, he's going to be completely healthy, I may say the same thing that Sherrod just said. But because of that, I sort of like the idea of him returning to that role, that mentor role that meant a whole lot to Robert Williams. He talked a lot about it heading into this season, and it's
what's he going to learn?
Call it a Celtics binky, if you will. I think that they feel comfortable with that. They feel
would
comfortable
you guys,
bringing someone like that back.
Would you guys rather have Rob and Thompson next year or Rob and Horford?
You're forgetting to include Kemba in that scenario. Yeah,
right. That's what I'm saying. I mean,
well, that's my thing about this one is that this can become a bigger dump. Like Rob and
Horford. Jimmy had to go talk to Porzingis and see whether he's still interested, because
well, Thompson,
that's what he's up
he's like, yo, I'm talking you up right now, man. Come on.
Thompson's an expiring deal.
This is a good point. This is a good point, Kevin.
He'll be a bit easier to move.
Bobby, don't move that jersey.
That's a great point. That is a good
point. I'm waiting for Al to just come through the door any second now.
Somebody here might be compromised. Bobby. Al's making mac and cheese. Making mac and cheese in the kitchen right now.
That shit's been there so long that it's like a lamp to me.
This is why I've left it here.
You still think that's the Al Horford from 5 years ago, like walking through that bedroom door? It's not.
So Al was real solid last year. No one was watching him because he was in Oklahoma. But remember,
guy was watching.
If you
all right, full disclosure, I had him on my fantasy team for a little bit. He was balling out. All right, he was balling out.
And if you remember, when we were looking at the standings throughout the year and Oklahoma was floating right there in the middle of the league somehow, he was a big part of
PJ
that.
PJ Tucker and KD getting into it. Okay.
Oh, yeah. I just saw it.
Oh, yeah. Get it,
everyone's
PJ.
Sick of it.
I'll cheer on PJ in that fight.
Yeah. Finally, someone's getting sick of Durant's comments.
Yeah. A lot of furniture moving.
I love the idea of
Horford. KD doesn't want the smoke. He just wants to be behind
Bobby, the keyboard. You said you love the idea of Horford. Continue, Bobby. Sorry.
I love the idea of Horford coming back because he's a passer, which is something they need. They need defense. They need a little bit more size, especially at the four where he can play. Defense. And he can back up Rob. He can be a bit of Rob insurance. And he played so well here in this system.
He can move the ball. Yeah.
And he can shoot.
The point that you guys brought up earlier can't be dismissed, and that is, who the hell is coaching the team? Because Al's skill set may not necessarily fit in whatever system the new coach is going to have. It should. You would think it would. But we don't know that.
Well, here's the biggest bonus. He makes $30 million this year. But next year, he makes $14 million. He makes $14 million because the incentives didn't kick in. So you're saving $20 million next year off Kemba.
That is a bonus I'll give you.
Which is probably a big reason Oklahoma wouldn't do it. I'm still looking for reasons Oklahoma would do this. They don't need picks. They have 34. There's other ways to dump Horford. I'm sure other teams are interested in Horford. And does Horford want to come back? That's a ginormous question.
Were the Celtics giving a pick in your trade?
Yes.
I did, because I think there needs to be some incentive to do this. Just because that second year.
There's got
to
be something
to make. What incentive? They're desperate.
Incentive? Al Horford literally said, I'm not playing for you anymore.
They said, we don't want you to play for us anymore.
Oh, right. Yeah. Well, sorry. One of the other. I'm sure it was mutual.
He became the highest paid practice player in the NBA last year.
Yeah. And why would OKC want to take on Kemp? I don't know.
They'd be adding $20 million next year that they don't have.
Yeah. That incentive of the pick at least would make them want
to. Yeah. That would get it done. And we know OKC loves picks.
So very quickly.
But again,
Sherrod is a no.
Pick?
Right?
Yes. That's correct. I'm a no.
You might not have to give up the pick. That would be even better. I mean, this deal is a dream if you can get it done to me.
Sherrod is a no. Jimmy is a no.
I'm a no.
I can't believe you. You're going to say no to every deal on here.
I already said yes to one.
I'm a yes. Bobby and I, we're clicking tonight, man. Yeah.
I'm a yes, Bobby. I'm giving it to you. 3-2. I'm a yes on this.
Perfect. You just said it yourself. Why even make the trade? Who's playing
Jimmy,
point guard?
Jimmy, don't try to convince him. Stop.
Smart.
3-2.
This is the biggest benefit to this, too. You keep smart and Fournier.
Guys, I told you. There's no suspense here.
Smart and Horford back together?
There's no suspense here. I told you. I'm saying yes to every trade.
Somebody named Marcus is going to make a defensive team again.
What's next, John?
I'm saying yes to every trade, so don't be surprised. The next one is Bobby's – Bobby's Clippers trade with a little bit of extra sauce here, little twist to it. Okay,
you just throw Marcus Morris.
Well, that's a Celtics coming back.
Yes, Bobby somehow finagled Marcus Morris into this situation. Yes!
Yeah, this is robbing, yes! Man. You're robbing the Clippers right now.
Yes,
that's a lot of Luke Kennard. I'll say that.
Yes,
yeah. Luke Kennard. Yeah.
Yes.
So, I think this one is not realistic. Yeah, but let's or not we're talking about Morris, let's just talk about the thing that's been thrown out there a bit is this idea of Kennard and Beverly for Kemba, but the money doesn't fully work. So you got to do more, and that's why you threw Morris in, and that's why you threw picks that way to make it work. I don't know how the mechanics of this would work. Now, this to me, like I said, was Morris under contract for 4 years?
It would be three more, including this upcoming one.
I got to tell you, the last thing in the freaking world I want on this team next to Jalen and Jason playing the same position as those guys is Marcus freaking Morris.
I said I would say yes to everything.
Marcus Morris absolutely murdered those guys in his last year here because it's not his fault.
One of them.
Marcus Morris does one thing. He's a freaking vacuum. You give him the ball and he turns around and scores.
But he was incredible this year.
And he had a great year.
He was damn near 50-40-90 guy this year.
But if you're going to trade for Marcus Morris, you might as well freaking try to flip Tatum.
He's going to take every shot in the world because of that. Like, yeah.
No.
He's going to take every shot, man. Oh, my God. I don't want anything to do with that.
I want him back. I actually don't like the Kennard part of this. I think Kennard is horrible.
I love the Kennard. Oh, you don't like that part?
No, I don't. I think he's a waste of an extension here. He's a mid-sized contract, but I don't know how valuable he is ultimately.
I hate every player coming back from the Clippers in this trade.
Pretty much, yeah. I do too.
And this is why it's realistic. And the fact that the Clippers...
Because you're going to hate the trade. Yes, it is realistic.
John,
Bobby's goal tonight was to just make us hate everything.
Well, John, you always say how the Celtics... You always say how the Celtics picks are useless. They're useless to everybody but the
Except
Clippers.
Except teams that don't have time. But yeah, Dallas Clippers doesn't have them either, picks. Right?
They might gave up their Knicks one, but not nearly as bad as the Clippers. I mean, the Clippers gave up about seven first for George.
Stop saying seven first. The next time you say seven first, I'm going to knock you off the show.
Kick him off.
No one has ever given up seven first for anything. I just want to be clear.
It was in total.
Yeah, but it's not one team. One team doesn't give up seven firsts.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
They have pick swaps. Anyway, doesn't matter. I hate this trade. I hate it. I hate it.
I guess, John, here's the thing. I don't know why the Clippers would do it either.
This is the thing I don't understand about your hatred of
Marcus Morris. I mean, he shot better than 40% from three-point range three of the last 4 years.
I know.
There aren't a lot of guys his size who show at least a desire or willingness to defend who can shoot like that. I know he takes a high volume of shots, but damn, if he's making 40% of his threes, I think there's value in that.
He was really good. When
Tatum first came to the Celtics from the draft, who was his BFF? It was freaking Marcus Morris. The guys sat next to each other on the plane. Marcus was like a mentor for him when he first came to the league. So there's not going to be an issue.
I guarantee if we did this trade next year around this time, we'd be doing Marcus Morris trade shows about how the hell they get rid of Marcus Morris. Okay.
I would be standing on my damn chair saying, no, keep Mook here.
I'm all about bringing in a guy who's going to actually give them a little bit of a backbone. I'd love to see that on the team, and that's Marcus Morris type.
My lasting image of him was when they played Philadelphia, and Ben Simmons is bringing a ball up, and he just pushed Ben Simmons, looked him in the eye, looked at the ref, no call was made. That's my kind of guy.
I'll always love this, you know?
Oh, he was electric that year.
He was awesome.
And he's kept it going. I mean, 2019, he was he was further down the bench than anybody that year. He lost the most minutes of anybody on that roster. So you can understand the malcontent. At this point, they need depth.
It's just simply, I don't know how this works with those guys. If he accepted his role, he came in off the bench. He took 8, 10, 12. But he signed for 4 years.
Three more.
Three more.
I think it started last year.
Anyway, so it's like, God, do you, Josue, we can't have nice things, okay?
There he goes.
I know.
Even in the off season. Mine was audio.
I know. Someone got to ruin my fun.
So real quick, before we move on to the next trade, we're going to do a couple more. We're going to head over to locker room, guys. Does the other team say yes to any of the trades we suggested?
I think we say yes.
Dallas, yes. Oklahoma,
Clippers are not doing that. Yeah.
No, they're not.
You don't think so? I mean, Morris is the wild card there. The other one I saw thrown around was Yogi Ferrell in place of Morris, but I say no to that one. What's the point?
No.
They don't want Kemba that
bad. No.
Yogi, who?
So this is the – hold on. I'm going to do this one real quick. I got to pull it up first. This one's kind of interesting because this is the – hold on. We're a little slow here.
I love these Houston trades.
I'll get to Houston. I'm going to do that one last because I know you like it. Right. I want to do – this is the two nickels for a dime trade.
Aaron Gordon talks come full circle.
Yeah. So hold on. It's taking a second to load it up here. This is with the Magic. This is one that Bobby threw out here. Terrence Ross, Gary Harris for Kemba.
And, couple firsts,
and
get
a couple
them on their
firsts.
Rebuilding.
You
track.
Honestly have no respect for first round picks.
Zero.
Get them out of here.
Zero.
Yeah, seriously. You would give Danny Ainge a heart attack.
You are. You are a draft vandal when it comes to this. Like,
hey, I did put a protection. Listen, read the fine print. I put a protection on the second one.
No. No.
What the hell did I just look at? Huh? Can you go back to that for a second, John?
Ross.
What is
Gary
this
Harris.
LeBron stat? Luck adjusted player estimate using a box.
I like Harris.
Prior regularized.
I don't like those picks.
On.
Don't what even try it, Jimmy.
Bobby, I don't even want to know what LeBron means.
I don't know. So we have no hope.
I saw that. It's a weird acronym. Yeah. No, I saw that too.
Guys, we're focusing on the wrong thing.
Yeah. We're at this portion of the show now. I mean, these are the trades that we're going over.
Why are we reading the?
That's what they think of the trade, Bobby. Forget about the trade. Let's talk about this
that's
fine.
Jimmy goes. Jimmy goes. Jimmy goes. You can't read that, bro. Challenges him.
Sorry, forget. Oh, Terrence Ross. Right. Yeah. Let's just trade for all the Magic. Why not? Trade for Terrence Ross. Let's just bring on the Magic team.
Get Markelle Fultz in there, and then we can talk.
Yeah. So Ross does provide a little bit of a buffer against Fournier leaving.
Is Fournier on this team with these trades happening? Is he part on this team still?
I'm worried. I mean, you know how I feel about him, but I don't know how the Celtics feel about him. It's going to be a lot of tax to keep him around.
Yeah.
Yep. And then you got to ask yourself, certainly they're asking themselves, is it worth it? Is it worth it?
Yeah. Oof. Harris shot 37% in Orlando.
Mm-hmm. I like Terrence Ross, though.
Does anybody like this trade?
No.
Yeah, but I mean, the thing about Harris, though, if you put him in a situation like this, I don't think you get the same numbers. But yeah,
no, oh, you're right. He's probably more like 40, 43, 44. He's Kemba.
Yeah, he was solid in Denver, you know?
Wing defender. Yeah. He's expensive and he might be an extra year than Kemba too. I mean, this is the guy I was looking at when we were talking about Smart going to Orlando. It was like, do the Nuggets really want Gary Harris either? This is a very realistic trade. This is probably the second most realistic of all the ones I listed here.
It's definitely realistic, yeah.
So does anybody like it?
No.
I'm fine with it if it happens.
I wouldn't cry.
Terrence Ross is kind of a baller.
He's streaky though. He's really streaky.
He's really streaky. But
it's streaky as
you
they
might
go.
Need that type of a
hey, if you have a chance to get three Orlando Magic on your team, you take it.
See, in this scenario,
neither of which are
the perfect team to build a championship.
Neither of which are Aaron Gordon or
you just say yes and how much. Yes and give it to me.
Just buy that stock. All right. See what happens.
Yeah, give us all your Magic depth players. We don't want Vucevic or Gordon. We want all the other guys.
Yeah. All right, so here's the other one. Ready? This is the last one we're gonna do.
Look who's calling.
Bobby loves this.
Former Celtic.
Oh, boy.
This is another good one.
Yeah.
Oh, it doesn't work. So
this one, contract over. No, that's
Bradley. So Bradley
has picks up his option.
Yeah. So the only way this works is if Bradley picks up his player option. It's $6 million. I don't know what he would get in the open market, but there's probably a chance he picks it up. But we'll see. He'd probably rather choose his destination than be traded somewhere. So maybe not. Right. But if it works for me, Eric Gordon, they want him out bad. He signed a bunch of years now. DJ Augustine's a solid point guard.
So what is Eric Gordon? He just backs up Jaylen Brown.
Kind of like this. I like this, Drew.
Gordon, they'll be lucky if he plays. He played 23 games last year.
That's what I'm saying.
So why are we doing this?
That's what I'm saying.
I'm thinking about
a temporary point guard to plug in there, but yeah, it's risky because
he's temporary because he's not going to play.
Yeah,
you just have Kemba who doesn't play then.
Yeah, but Sherrod, if Houston's relevant though, I think you would have seen a little more from Gordon. I mean,
he's a good shooter.
They shut him down. He was supposed to come back.
He's a good shooter, but he's also getting up there in age too, right?
Eric Gordon is like older than Kemba.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Okay, yeah, just making sure. Just making sure we're clear on that.
Yeah,
he's older than the guy. He's an injury riddle player who's older than the injury riddle player that you're getting rid of. Just make sure we're clear.
I've heard enough. No,
he makes $16 million though instead of $36 million.
You get Augustine though. Okay,
you get a discount. Yeah. I do like DJ Augustine. I do like DJ.
You get
and I love Avery Bradley.
Modern day Jameer Nelson.
Be nice to have Bradley back in the room. You could also do, if this doesn't work, you could try to get Daniel House from them, who could possibly be available.
He's solid. I would like that, Bobby.
One of their cheaper guys, too. They like
him too much. They ain't giving that up.
Or you could do a straight-up Kemba Walker, John Wall swap, which works as well.
Stop. I knew you were going to go there, Bobby.
Let's talk about that.
We didn't do that one, but that's another semi-interesting one.
Let's talk about that.
This is the last one we're going to do real quick, and then we're going to go. Does anyone want to hang here? You guys just want to head over. Let's just all head over.
All right, that sounds good.
Yeah. So we're going. Locker room is open. You guys can jump in there now. Wait for us. We're gonna wrap it up here, and then we're gonna go take your questions, take your comments over on locker room. Yeah.
I could suggest more trades here all night.
Kemba. Okay, let's do Kemba for Wall real quick. I'm yes.
I am yes as well.
Let's do it.
You need a passer.
More Wall's of a playmaker.
Wall is one of the best passers in the league.
That's two yeses. Three yeses.
How many years? How many years on that deal?
I do it.
3 years.
I do it.
No, it's the same length as Kemba, but it's $42 million.
Why would they do it? Why would they do it?
To save money and
save a little bit of money. So you send Tristan out in year one.
You could
save
a lot of bit of money, John. Depending on
can you give him a couple seconds to make it worth their while?
Yeah. Well, you would send Tristan out too, right?
No, they work straight up.
Oh, work straight up.
Yeah,
Jimmy. What?
Can we do that?
Can we do it today? Please, please.
Wall is $42 million. Kemba's 36 for two years each.
$42 million.
So you're gonna be diving into that tax a little bit. That's probably
I don't give a shit
there.
About the tax.
Well, of course not. You're not paying it.
Exactly. Well, Wick needs to pony up. If Wick's not paying the tax,
wouldn't we be able to get a little excited? Wouldn't we be able to get a little excited about Wall coming here?
Definitely. I would.
I mean, so, Houston was, and he did a decent job before Harden blew up the spot.
Yeah. So again, just to set the table, we talked a lot of Kemba here. We still have not talked about, and we're still waiting on Jimmy's take on the Brad situation. We're going to talk about that in locker room as well. And what I will say is, as time has gone on, I like this move less and less and less and less. And I don't know how you guys feel about it, but.
I'm going to be laying on this couch like I'm at like counseling session when I talk about this Brad stuff.
Yeah. All right.
Staring at the wall.
Yeah. So we're going to head over. Like I said, does anybody feel they have anything left to say here? Because I'll let you do it.
No, let's roll.
Let's roll.
Yeah.
We're going to head over now. Guys, start grabbing your phones. Hold on. Where's mine?
Okay. Is it open? All right.
It's open. Jimmy, Sherrod, jump on in. I still got to grab my phone there. We're going to head over right now, locker room. Thank you guys for watching.
I want to say thanks, everyone, for watching, too, because we haven't seen them in like a week. So
Thank you.
We try and do this like once a week or so. I don't even know, hopefully. All right. Peace, guys.
All right. Good night, everybody.